Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. It's so great to be back with you once again. Boy, I'll tell you what, it seems like the time between these shows is growing shorter. I can't believe, maybe you can, but I can't believe it's been a week since we last sat down. But at any rate, this week we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I discussed for the past few weeks, we are nearing the end of the church year, the end of the liturgical year, getting ready, believe it or not, in just a few short weeks to head into the Advent season and the beginning of a new church year. However, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I think it's important to understand where we are in the church year, because you're going to see certain themes emerge, especially as we get into the last few weeks of the church year. You're going to see more reminders of the fact that this life is not all there is. It's not going to last forever. This life on earth is temporary. And then we're going to have to be judged. Now, I know, look, I know that's not a popular topic. It doesn't sound that good. But here's the good news. We're going to be judged. And if we follow God's commandments as conveyed by his church, we're going to be fine. And we will live forever in the total happiness of heaven. It really is that simple. I think sometimes we look at commandments and obeying the commandments as a series of thou shalt nots, right? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, where is the joy in that? But, you know, we can flip that and realize that what God's trying to do is make us happy. He wants us to be happy, not just in this life, which is not going to last forever, just a few short years when you look at it. But he wants us to be happy with him in heaven forever. And that leads us into the topic of today's show, obeying God's commandments. Again, you can either look at it as God saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, or God saying, look, if you want to be happy, I know you, I made you. You've been created by me out of nothing. And God says, here's what you should do. Here's what you shall do. And you're going to hear in the gospel today, from today's these series of readings from the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, you're going to hear Jesus deliver the commandments in a positive way. He'll be asked, what are the most important commandments? And Jesus will say, not thou shalt not do this. And you know, look, there is a time for the thou shalt nots, especially in the Old Testament. People didn't have a very good concept of who God was. They were worshiping idols. They were doing all kinds of pagan practices. And they needed a few thou shalt nots. And honestly, I think a lot of times we do as well. But you can always flip it around and take the you shouldn't do this's and turn them into here's what you should do. And look, not because God needs you to do these things, but because he wants you to be happy. God's perfectly happy without us. And you know, that's a tough message. I always try to be careful about saying that God is perfectly happy in and of himself, in his relationship with the Jesus, and the second person, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. There's a perfect happiness in there. But God wills that even though your existence, your obedience isn't necessary for his happiness, he wants to share his happiness with you. I got to be careful when I say God doesn't need you, doesn't need your good works, because then it makes it seem like, while that is technically true, it makes it seem like he doesn't care about you. No, he created you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he wants to make sure that you make it to eternal life in heaven, because he wants to share eternity with you. That is a hard concept for our finite minds to grasp, but the more we dwell on that, the more we meditate on that, the easier it's going to be for us to understand just how much God loves us. And then the commandments begin to make a lot of sense. These commandments that we might have viewed as God's attempt to take our fun away, we begin to realize that, well, this is God's attempt at helping us to be happy in this life, but even more importantly, to be happy with him in the next life. All right. I spoke way too much before the prayer. I didn't intend to, but sometimes it just happens that way. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father now, and let's talk to him. Would you join me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to address you in prayer. Father, I know that you are here with us right now. Even though we may be spread out, separated geographically, you are with us right now. Father, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for sustaining our lives from the time we were first conceived right up until the present. We thank you for your willingness to listen to us, to hear our prayers, to give us a chance for eternal happiness. We're grateful for all these things, Father. We ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to bless our country, to bless the world. We pray, Father, as we come ever so close to Election Day in the United States, we pray for a good outcome to this election. And we pray, Father, that your will be done, and that even if the results of the election aren't to our liking, that we'll always remember, we're going to need your help for this, Father. We'll always remember that ultimately you are still in control. You allow certain things to happen that we might not be pleased with. You allow evil to exist. You don't cause it, but you allow it to happen because you can always bring a greater good out of it. So as we head into this election process, we pray that we can do our part, vote according to our conscience, formed with the guidance of your Catholic Church, Father. But then we can accept the results as being permitted to happen from you. And we believe that you can always bring good out of this or any other situation. Father, we pray for the sick. We pray for those who are homeless. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for all who are searching for you, who don't know you. And we pray for those who are in most need of your mercy this day. And finally, Father, I pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to enlighten me, to give me the words for this show. Please guide my thoughts and my words as I prepare to deliver your message. And Father, please open all of our hearts and our minds so that we may not only hear your words, but act upon them. And as we always do, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek, and we do this program each week. And we're grateful. I'm grateful to have you as a listener. And I'm also grateful to the numerous Catholic radio stations around the country who carry the show, as well as the podcast services who make it available. I couldn't do it without anyone who makes this show available. And I couldn't do it without you. The fact that you're listening to the program makes it, it means so much to me. And you often write to me and let me know what you think about the show. And I'm grateful for that. I really am. It is a absolute joy to do the program. A lot of times I'm having a bad day and I record the show and I just feel a lot better. I mean, I know I'm being immersed in God's word when I do the scripture readings, but also there's that idea of you and I connecting, and I really can feel your presence. I like to say we're sitting across the table, even though I can't see you. What I'm seeing right now is an empty chair, but I believe you are there. I really do. And I thank you for writing to me. I thank you for praying for me. I thank you for your donations. I'm reaching a point now where your donations are more important than ever, so I'm very grateful if you have donated to my ministry to keep it going. So thank you for that. Since we're a couple of weeks away from Advent, don't forget I have a book out now. We're going to be talking about it in a few weeks. It's called Find Peace in Advent. It's a daily devotional designed for the Advent season, and I really hope you'll be able to pick up a copy. We will be talking about it on the show. Head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. And while you are at it, I invite you to sign up for my daily email reflection. Let not your heart be troubled. It's totally free of charge. And all you need to do is supply your email address. Just go to followingthetruth.com and you can sign up there. All right. Did a lot of talking already. Good. If you don't mind, I'm going to take a quick sip of my water. I have a slice of lemon in the water and it really is very soothing. And, you know, when you speak this much, I've been doing this for a long time. You kind of get used to it, but it's still nice to have something soothing for your throat because it's not easy to speak for 30 minutes nonstop sometimes. All right, so with that in mind, let me speak a little bit more as we turn to the Mass readings for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Obeying God's commandments is the theme that I'm getting from all of these readings. As I do each week, I'm going to start with the gospel, and then we'll work backwards and see the common theme. I don't think it's going to be too hard to pick out this week. Sometimes it's difficult, and I really have to work on it. But this time, it's relatively, I think, straightforward. And this is what I feel the church is behind the church's reasoning for selecting these readings to match up with one another. Anyway, here we go. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34 is our gospel. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Isn't this a good question? I mean, I think we might have some ideas, but have you ever wondered, like, what's the most important commandment? Above all else, what should I do, right? Well, here's how Jesus answered. Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" I'm just going to pause it there because there is a period here. A lot of times, and you may have done this yourself, you'll hear said of someone that, well, they're a really good person. They're not particularly religious, but they're really good. They do a lot for charity. They do a lot to serve others. And honestly, there are people like that out there. I knew a person one time who was just a generally good person. But he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And he would do things to help others. Good guy. But when you look at this, what our Lord said, I mean, he's pretty clear about this. The first commandment is not love others, be kind to others. The first and most important commandment is that we love the Lord your God. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, God comes first. We put him first in our lives because that's what love is. It's not a feeling. Love is primarily a decision. It's an act of the will. I will consciously put the person I love first, and I will do whatever is in my power to be kind to them, to assist them, to relieve them of their burden, to put them first, to do things for them, not just to feel a certain way. A lot of times feelings flow from the conscious decision to love, but love's an action. It's not a feeling. So when it comes to God, what Jesus is telling us is that the first commandment is to put God first, to love God and to serve him, to put him first and do what we can. I mean, of course, you can't add to God's happiness, but there's a certain obedience involved in love, right? I'm going to do certain things, speak a certain way, act a certain way to express my love. It's not just like warm feelings. So I'm trying to make the point that if we are really going to follow the commandments as specifically stated by Jesus, we're not going to be able to get away with saying, well, I didn't really go to church. I didn't really pray, but I was a pretty good guy. Again, tough message, but as we're coming to the end of the church year, these are the kinds of things the church wants us to think about. Like, you know, we're going to be accountable. So it's important for us to understand this is the first of the commandments, to love God. And that it can mean any number of different things, but certainly going to church, if we're able to, you know, sometimes you might not be able to. You might be homebound. You might be temporarily ill. You might have a condition where you can't be exposed to germs. There are cases. You might have a loved one you have to take care of. You're unable to get to Sunday Mass. That's excusable. That's not a sin. That's not avoiding your obligation to love God. But, I mean, are we really putting God first? And I'm not accusing anybody, but I'm really speaking to myself here. I want to make sure of this. Am I really loving God as much as I say I am? All right, that's the first commandment. The second, Jesus said, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, notice he's not just saying, I want you to go sit in church with your prayer book and worship God all day long. There are people who are called to do that, but that is the exception. Most of us are called to love God by loving our neighbor. Of course, we make time for prayer. We make time for going to church as well. But we are called to love God, and we're going to spend most of our time loving God by loving our neighbor. These two commandments are, they're united, they're tied together. You can't say you love God if you don't love your neighbor or act in a loving way toward your neighbor. The scribe said, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. It's interesting to think about the fact that it's kind of dangerous to ask Jesus a question, because oftentimes we're going to hear something that makes us uncomfortable, right? I mean, that's a pretty bold question by the scribe who asked Jesus, which is the first of all the commandments. Now, a lot of times these guys were doing it to trip Jesus up or to try to catch him in a trap. But nonetheless, the question was asked, and it is a good one. And you and I, we're hearing this because this was included in the Bible. The Holy Spirit felt that we were supposed to hear these words. And, you know, if you think about them, there is a danger to just write this off as, oh, yeah, I know that. Love God, love your neighbor. Sure. What's next? Right? Mother Angela used to say, don't be a what's nexter. Because it's true. Sometimes we'll hear, oh, God loves you or God is love. And we'll think, yeah, I know. What's next? Give me something more, right? But that is an incredibly important message. Is God first in our lives? And the second is, are you loving your neighbor? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? We have no problem putting ourselves first. We do things to take care of our needs. We look out for ourselves. It doesn't take effort to do that. But to love your neighbor as yourself, to put your needs, their needs before your needs, that's a tough one. Now, I'm not saying there are not times when you have to take care of yourself. You absolutely do. Otherwise, you're going to burn out. But I think with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can figure out what we need to do. You know, sometimes it's a tricky thing, like, all right, I'm really burned out today. I'm tired. Somebody's asking me to help them. I don't know. Sometimes no is a valid answer, you know, and you know, I would always say just pray about it and be honest with yourself. Don't be afraid to say no, but don't say no all the time. If you can help somebody out, if they need you, you know, by all means, do what Jesus would do. He was often tired and he took care of people who came to him for help. Let's look at the first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. And you're going to see what Jesus was referring to in the gospel. He often will point back to the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, because they didn't go away. Those teachings didn't go away. They're still valid. Jesus just would often elaborate and say, well, here's what you read, or here's what your scriptures say, but here's what I'm telling you. I'm going to tweak it a little bit, not change it, but maybe enhance it sometimes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 through 6, Moses spoke to the people saying, "Fear the Lord your God and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more, in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today. Now, obviously, you see the direct reference. You understand why the church chose that first reading to go with the gospel. But I would put forth the idea that if you truly love God, true love of God is going to lead to love of neighbor. Because if you really love God, you're going to really want to know about him. When you love somebody, you want to know about them. So that'll lead you into the scriptures and the teachings of his church. And it shouldn't take too long for those scriptures and the church's teaching to make you realize that your relationship with God is not just between you and him. It shouldn't be a private affair, if you want to call it that, or a private relationship. It's personal, absolutely, but it's not private. Love of God should lead you to love his children. I mean, and a lot of times I don't do that. I'm working on it. It's one of the reasons I often recommend receiving the Eucharist as often as you can and receiving the sacrament of confession as well. The sacraments do things. The sacraments transform us into the image of Jesus. Of course, we've got to go along with the grace that we receive through the sacraments. And always remember the sacraments that you receive one time, baptism, confirmation, there are constantly graces flowing from those sacraments. Your baptismal, the grace you received on the day of your baptism, is sort of like you got a lifetime supply of that grace, and it's going to come out when you need it. Same for confirmation. If you're married, sacrament of matrimony is the same way. The graces will come out. Even if you've only been married one time, you're going to get those graces every day, some form of those graces, to meet the changing needs of the day, the changing circumstances, situations that you will encounter in your marriage and dealing with your children, etc. So sacraments are a very great source of grace and will help transform you and change your heart so that you can love not only God, but love those who God loves. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. See that? That's obvious again, that I love you, Lord. Love God. I love you, Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my deliverer, my fortress. My God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praised be the Lord, I exclaim, and I am safe from my enemies. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Extolled be my Savior, be God my Savior, who gave great victories to your king and showered kindness to your anointed. I love you, Lord, my strength. Now let's look at the second reading, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins, then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests, but the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. When it comes to the life of Jesus, there is no better example of someone who loved God, his Father, and who loved other people. So this second reading fits in perfectly with the idea of love God and love others. Jesus gives us that example. And if I could go back to the sacraments, when we receive the sacraments, we receive grace. The church teaches that the sacraments are the greatest source of grace. Second would be prayer. And if we want to become like Jesus, the way to do it is by receiving the sacraments as frequently as you can. Now, the ones we receive the most, the ones we have the most opportunities to receive throughout our lives, are the Eucharist and confession. You've heard me say it before. I can't waste the opportunity to say it again. If you want to love God and love others, you need to receive the sacraments as often as you can. And I know that's not always easy. Maybe you can't get to daily Mass, but can you get to maybe like one daily Mass during the week? Maybe you can go Saturday. Maybe you have a can go before work one day. In addition, of course, to you know to your Sunday obligation. I have seen it change my life. And I still have a long way to go. It's a gradual change for most people, but it's a change. The Eucharist, the sacrament of confession, and all the sacraments, they do something. They give grace. Something happens. You might not be able to feel it when you receive these sacraments, but the church gives us these sacraments, signs of grace, outward signs which confer grace, instituted by Christ. That's what a sacrament is, to help us to become Jesus and transform us so that we're no longer who we are, in a sense. We're still the same people, but we become able to continue Christ's mission on earth. That's what he calls us to do. I can't do that without his help. That's what grace can do. I can't continually love God and love others without his grace. I just can't do it. None of us can. We have a fallen human nature. But with his help, we can get a little closer each day to loving like Jesus loved. And he loved God perfectly, as well as his neighbor. Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the program. It's always a pleasure. If you need anything, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you like what you hear, if you believe in my ministry and you want to help me sustain this full-time ministry, you can visit followingthetruth.com and make an online donation. I would be very grateful for that. Again, you are always in my prayers. I pray for you every day, and I would just ask that you pray for me and my family. And God willing, we're going to do this again next week. I hope you'll be able to join me. God bless you. Talk to you soon.